case of the various...
Welcome back to Encourage Radio. This is Jacob Miller. I am the producer here, and with me here on my left is Raina Smith.
Woo-hoo!
And right in front of me is Pastor Ron
here
B.
We go.
Smith.
All right, we are ready to go today.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
We are. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have fun with this one.
Oh.
What? Right. Okay, are we?
Hopefully.
Raina. Oh my gosh.
It's kind of like Sunday morning. I'm like, where are we going? Where are we going? What's the surprise? What's the surprise? Lay it out for me.
What? You mean your waist? What do you mean? you want to know what I'm going to say that might surprise you?
Yes.
Okay. Do I ever do that?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Constantly.
What
I
do you mean?
I just never know. I'm like, is he going to go there?
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Especially when you say, I wonder if I should share this. Usually a pretty distinct topic. Like, all right.
Don't you remember the first time you heard me preach and the lights went out in the building?
Yes.
And I stood up and I said, I'm going to preach the lights on.
And it came on.
And the lights came on. The look on Raina's face was like, like, who am I about to marry?
Oh, man.
And
he has powers.
That was funny.
That was funny. That was so funny.
That was a little bitty church. That ceiling almost hit your the top of your head.
It was only like maybe 25 feet by 30 feet. It was a small little cinder block church.
Cute.
A friend of mine in seminary was pastoring. We are going to learn how to, believe it or not, how to speak life into your marriage and your family. We're going to give you, I think, I don't know, 12 quick, powerful phrases that are so small, but will yield such big returns that I think sometimes we forget that it's the little things that make a big difference.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I was listening to my Experiencing God video on the way here, and he was saying it's not the big things that we wait for God to move. Uh-huh. Just in the car. And it was like those little things. Those little things of God's movement, those little words of encouragement is where God is at work.
Wow. Absolutely. 100%. All right, so let's talk about the first one. All right.
Okay.
These are 12 little encouraging statements. You can send them by text. You can just say them in a conversation. It's also about knowing like the timing of when to say them. Here's one of them. How can I help you?
Yes.
That is so huge in a marriage. Now, it's not just marriage. Remember, we said the title is How to Speak Life into Your Marriage and Family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, dads walking into your kids' room if they're doing homework, how can I help?
Yes.
Like, it's little things.
Especially if your child's love language is act of service.
Uh-huh.
Many times we say, go clean your room.
That's what I was going to say.
But many times if we go in and kind of display that and help them do that, that just fills their tank because it's, you know, both quality time, but also you're it's an act of service of help.
But do you remember the conversation one of our daughters had? They kind of revealed it later. They were like, we'd always say, go clean your room. And they were like, what does it mean to clean my room? Like, what does that exactly mean?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we were like, we've never walked them through. Like, okay, we kind of assume that it's simple. But anyway, that's just one of those really powerful phrases. And it could be said, so in some other episodes, like on Frontsight, we're talking to men and we're teaching them how to be better at conversation. So it's knowing when in the conversation, like if your wife is saying something or if your husband's saying something, you may not have an answer, which most people aren't looking for an answer. They're just looking for somebody to listen. Mm-hmm. But it's learning to say, well, how can I help with that?
Yeah.
How powerful that little statement is. They may not even know, like, I don't know how you can help, but I'm glad you asked. Like, just that made the conversation feel safe. It made it feel supportive. It made it feel secure. Here's another one. It's going to be so simple. Thank you.
Yeah.
How often do we not say thank you to a spouse or to our children?
Yeah.
Like, we say it to others. We say it to strangers. Do we still say this to strangers when they open the door for us? You're like, thank
you. I say thank you.
Right. But think about that. Just think about the power of just saying, you know, thank you for making dinner. Thank you for
getting the lawn mowed.
Yes. Thank you for getting the lawn mowed. Just little things. Yes. Not just acts of service things. Like, I really appreciate today, like you called and said this or that, you know, like, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Which leads me to the third one. I really appreciate the effort.
Mm.
Yes.
I wrote that down recently, and Raina went through this tedious process of doing research on a certain area in our life, auto and home insurance. And I mean, you probably lost 4 days of your life.
I did.
You know, and you just did it and finally came back with a good report. And, you know, I think we all in the Facebook feed or the RJ Ranch family thread, you know, we were like, we really appreciate the effort. You know, like, yes. Thank you for that.
Yeah, because many times we forget to just recognize those things. We do it in the workplace,
right.
Maybe to say, oh, thank you for getting that for me. But right. Many times we forget to say that in the home.
Right. Yeah.
And we forget to say that with our kids. I know whenever my girls were little, maybe if someone had maybe a little bit of ADD issue or whatever, they say, you know, try to find things that they do that are good.
Mm. Right.
Because it's so easy to say, hey, you need to do this. Why didn't you follow through with this? And you're trying to give them, you know, those three tasks to follow through on.
Yeah.
And just finding those wins. I mean, right. We all want to know when we win,
right.
You know. And I think it just takes a conscious effort.
Yeah.
And so many times in, you know, marriage, we're like, well, I don't want to tell them. They don't tell me, you know?
Yeah, push through that.
Yes. And realize that you just doing it one time may spur that spouse on to
change.
Do more. Or even that student, that child,
right.
To say, wow, you know, I did do this right. And it's not flattery.
Right.
It's a genuine, like, I really do mean this.
And to your point, sometimes we only compliment them on when they do something.
Mm. Yes.
Or when it's like completed. But this one is appreciating the effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's recognizing, like, I know you really worked hard, you know, to get to that level to complete the game. You may not have scored a goal, but you know what? You worked hard. Like,
yeah.
You put
yes.
Like, I know you worked hard on that test. I know you were really hoping for an A. You thought it would please us, and honey, it's not about that. Like, but you know what? We recognize the effort you put into that. And that it may not have paid off like you thought in that particular grade, but in the end, it's going to pay off. Like, people notice effort just as much as they notice like an A or a B.
Mm. And I think it's good for all of us to kind of look for those positive things. I
yes.
mean, many times we're like, I need this done and this done.
Yes.
And he's not doing this right. But what are you finding that they do right?
Right.
And that reprograms your brain on even
it
how
does.
You see that person. Because many times when we're always nitpicking or
managing, controlling,
we lose the focus of the good things that are happening.
Right.
And then our attitude will pivot once we change that.
Well, for instance, if you have a husband that is, I don't know, let's just say doing something, not to say wrong, but they're just not doing it like the way you want to do it. Appreciate that they're at least trying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Appreciate the effort. Don't just say, yay, you finally did what I asked.
Mm.
Right.
No, it's like, you know what? I can see here, like, we're working on it.
Yeah.
Like, we're working on being better in conversation. We're working better on getting home on time. We're working better on not playing as many video games. We're working on trying to pick up our clothes, you know, like to your kids. Like, in the back of your head, you're going, you had 50 pieces of clothes on the ground. Now you only have 12. But
yes.
In the back of your head, you're saying that. But inside, you're going, thank you. Like, I really appreciate the effort to do that. Instead of, but don't finish it with, we're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, when you're there, then you'll be good. No, just appreciate the effort. Here's another one. Let me know how I can make things better.
Wow.
That's another small, powerful statement.
But you have to be willing to hear it.
You have to be willing to hear it. Yeah, like, in other words, you're asking either in that situation, to your comment, Randy, you're asking, like, where can I change? But you're also, you're offering a hand, you're offering a help, you're offering assistance, you're offering validation, you're offering security. You're basically saying, how can I help make things better? Like, you know, your job is kind of where it is. Finances are tough. The comment that your boss made, you didn't get the promotion, the materials weren't dropped off to complete the task, and you feel like you failed as a leader. What can I do to make things better? Like, you know, like, how can I help with that? They probably don't have an answer, to be honest, but just you offer. The point is, again, not so much an answer as it is just like, you offered. Mm-hmm. You stepped into the vulnerability and said, you know, I'm there with you, right?
Right.
Here's another one that I know is so powerful. And I text this a lot, but I frame it differently, obviously, because it's church members. But here's one. I've been thinking about you.
Yes.
Yeah. Say that. Mm-hmm. So at least, you know, Randy, you know, I wake up and I'm like, hey, have you heard from so-and-so? Have you seen so-and-so? How's so-and-so doing? And immediately I'll shoot them a text. But, you know, instead of saying, I'm thinking about you, like I say, hey, thought about you today. You're on my mind, praying for you. How powerful is that to let somebody know, wait, what? Like, okay, so talking about friends, like you prayed for me, you thought about me. Okay, think about how powerful it is in the middle of the day to text your spouse and just say, I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
Wow.
What? We get so busy in the rat race. Think about how powerful that is to your kids if they have phones to say, like, I know school is busy. I know you're in between classes. If you know the rhythm, you can say, I know right now you're trying to finish the day. I'm just letting you know I'm thinking about you. Like, you're going to have a good day. Mm. Like, how powerful is that?
Yeah.
Just think about that, like letting somebody know that. Here's another one. Thank you for always being there for me. Mm. Wow. These were halfway there on 12 powerful statements that don't take a whole lot of thought, not a whole lot of creativity. There's no money involved. You don't have to go buy a car from Hallmark that costs $4.95. You know, you literally are just texting these words or verbally saying them at the right time or just when you feel like the Lord has laid it on your heart. But letting somebody know that you recognized that they were there for you.
Yes.
It may not have been to the full extent that you maybe hoped in your mind, you know, for whatever, because we all sort of fantasize about what others can do for us. You know, if, you know what I mean? And we have these unstated expectations. It may not have been 100% of what you were expecting or hoped or thought, but at least some of it was there. Yeah. And just say, thank you for like trying. Thank you for being there for me. Here's another one. I already said it. I'm praying for you. How powerful is that to text your kids and your spouse, of course, others. Remember, we're talking about how to speak life into your marriage and family. Just say, I'm praying for you. Wow, what? How simple is that to say? Here's another one. I am blessed to have you in my life. Hmm. Have you ever said that? Or has it been a while? You know, since you said that, like specifically, let's say to your kids get beat down during the day. And without expectation, they didn't win a game. They didn't finish the class. Your spouse, you guys got up and went to work. When's the last time you said, you know, I'm blessed to have you in my life? Thanks for being on this journey with me, something like that. Think of the power of that. Because, Raina, to your point earlier, we get so busy in finding things that aren't quite there yet.
Yes.
You know?
Very much so.
We're still working on this. We're still working on that. Or I hope you get better in this. Or we just speak words of control. Like, to be honest, I don't know what we're, like, I don't know how to speak words of controlling. Because I don't think you and I necessarily do that. Maybe we do. I don't know. But I know some couples do, like they just micromanage and control and just meh, 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 just nitpick and nag a whole lot. But when you say, I'm blessed to have you in my life, that just says...
It kind of takes down all the walls.
It takes down all the walls. It's saying it's not even acknowledging imperfections. It's not even acknowledging things like we're not there yet. Mm. It's just saying, right now, I'm thankful for you.
I think it goes back to just counting your blessings, though, because you have to have that perspective, because you want to ask somebody, okay, so what do you want?
Yeah.
What is your ultimate picture? Could someone ever measure up to the picture that you have?
That's a good point.
In your mind? And many times we just continue to raise the bar on our spouse, on our kids, you know, just because we may be in the habit of raising the bar for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can never measure up. And many times that we add that to others that they can never measure up.
Right. Yes. Yeah. If we're not careful, we can subtly or sometimes not so subtly convey that. So when you say, I'm blessed to have you in my life, yeah, that takes the measuring tape out of the question.
Right.
It just says, oh, wow, you mean there's no expectation of me? You're just who I am and what's where we are? Absolutely. To the kids, you would say stuff like, I appreciate you. Like, say that. Like, say, I appreciate you. Like, just let your son or daughter know that. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, parenting is one of the hardest things to do because you're always trying to find ways to not say no, right? And yet, yes, be creative in discipline, guidance, correction, instruction, and education. And so there's so many things they've not experienced yet. So, of course, right, you're having to say, well, not yet. Well, no. Well, maybe. But just stopping to pause and just say, you know what? I appreciate you. Now stay with that one for just a moment because we're going to come back to it. Where I'm listing these not fast, but I want to get to sort of the main point of why. That was number 9. Here's number 10. I'm sorry. That sounds frustrating. That's such a validating point. Randy, you do that. You do it all the time. You say that statement, but you say it this way, like, I get it. Like, it's affirming, it's validating to our girls. Our girls are coming and say, you know, today I went through this. This is, I'm trying to figure out this direction, trying to pray over this, and still not quite there yet. And you're like, I get that. I get it. Like, I've been there. You know, like, I know that's frustrating. Again, most people don't want an answer. They just want somebody to know, like, validate, like, how they feel, that they're in it. What happens when we only get answers is we actually quit sharing how we feel because we're like, well, I'm just going to get a lecture. I'm just going to get answers. So you know what? I'm just going to like deal with it on my own. And then we become hardened and we become silent. But when you just say, I'm sorry, that sounds frustrating, there's not a whole lot of emotion expressed, if you will, in that. You know what I mean? That's made you vulnerable. But there's not a whole lot of emotion that's expected back where they would have to be vulnerable. That's just a simple statement.
And it's that two-way of sharing conversation. Many times we can go in and dump about our day.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden your spouse starts sharing and you're like, oh, yeah. And then cut them off and not listen to how they're feeling. So they just wound up just not sharing,
right,
you know, anymore about their day.
And we did speak on that too. I think it was FrontSight, right, Jacob? Maybe. And I share like as a parenthetical note that Jordan asked me a question. He said, you know, what if someone is silent? What if someone always talks? I said, well, the silent person has to learn how to talk more and the talking person has to be a little bit more silent. So it is about learning a balance.
Yes.
You know, because I know there are sometimes when you ask people, how can I help? You know, there are some people that are going to give you a long laundry list that you're like, I don't even know where to start.
Right.
And, you know, there's some folks when you ask, how was your day? They're literally going to tell you how many trees they drove by on the way to work. And you're just like, So there is a balance to your point, Raina. There is a balance on knowing how much to share. But that's just learning how to be emotionally mature, learning how to be a better communicator. What we want to do in this, what I pray we do in this episode is just give you some quick little sound bites of phrases that just help conversation start, help speak life at that moment instead of speak control or management or stagnant conversation, how to do that. I'm sorry, that sounds frustrating is one of them. Here's another one, I forgive you. Mm. That's huge. I know you share that a lot, Raina, with a lot of marriage couples. You're just like, you know, at some point, the way you're going to get off where you are is you just have to forgive. Like, forgiveness is so huge. Like, you can't bring so many yesterdays into today before you're just not able to function today, right? Like, I mean, I know you share that. Here's another one, and we put it on a t-shirt, but we said it a different way. But here's another one you can say, let's start over. Mm-hmm. This conversation didn't go the way I thought. Let's start over. This day is not what either one of us imagined, but look, come on, let's start over. The grace of God is there. Let's start over. You say it, Raina. It's a brand new day. We can't bring in, you know, to all the tomorrows, but I think it's important for you and I right now to start over. Here's why I think it's so important for you and I to do this. What I am hearing from so many folks, church folks, pastors, ministry, life, I mean, I guess I'm just bumping into it for a reason, which is why we're producing an episode on it, is so many people are hungry for simple appreciation. Mm-hmm. Appreciation, what is it? It's having admiration for others and communicating your approval to them. Yeah. Like, we are starved for appreciation. We get talked at, talked down to, screamed at, yelled at, told what to do, what not to do. Like, we live in a world where people's personal opinions are in tweetable bites, in Instagram reels, like it's like, this is what you should do. But how many of them just stop and just say, you know what? I appreciate you. Like, we get talked at so much But one of the things we can do is just let people know, like, I appreciate you. Like, what does that mean? It's taking the time to make people feel welcome. It's making them feel special. How do you do that? Well, as a Christian, it's by using the fruit of God's work in your own life to encourage and uplift others. We live in a world that needs massive encouragement.
Yeah. Yes.
Most marriages need not a facelift, but an uplift.
Yes.
Most of them need to be lifted up. Each other need to lift each other up. Each other need to encourage each other, need to appreciate each other. In other words, it's a form of valuing others. Like, I believe in validation, but we speak so much now, like, validate me, validate me, validate me. What we really need is to be valued. And it's simply done by appreciation. I think once we're valued, then we, in some respects, let our validation come from Christ, where it can't come from everybody in every source. But here's the problem. And to go back to Raina's earlier comment where she says sometimes we cannot let it happen. Insensitivity, disrespect, callousness, and disapproval are the opposites of appreciation. Pride often will not allow you and I to appreciate others because, after all we really want to think about is us. And to Raina's point, sometimes you got to push through that feeling and just go, you know what, if I do this, it's probably not going to turn out right. No, if you take the first move and saying some of these statements, Lord willing, it's going to open the door up. That is the opposite of control. That is the opposite of disrespect. And I know you feel disrespected now as a wife. You probably feel disrespected as a husband. Like, I get that. You probably feel disrespected by your kids, like your job. And everything within you right now wants to just draw a shield, a force field around you and not get hurt again, instead of be vulnerable and step out and speak these words. I'm just telling you, these are 12 powerful little statements that help you and I show that type of appreciation and speak life into marriage and family. The Bible says it this way, Ephesians 1:16. Paul wrote, I never stop giving thanks for you as I mention you in my prayers.
Wow.
How did that make the church at Ephesus feel? How did it make those troubled saints feel? Awesome. I never stop giving thanks for you. Like, honestly, tomorrow, like right now, put this in a text and get it ready to send. I want to write it down on a piece of paper or something. And send this out to your spouse. Send this out to your kids. Send it to somebody that you prayed over needs it. Let them hear that verse and just watch what happens in their life. Wow.
And we never know God's timing. And even right. If we have a hard time with this, maybe jot down these, 12 steps on a piece of paper or in your notes on your phone. The how can I help? Thank you. Yes. I really appreciate the effort. If you can't remember, maybe just jot these down on your phone and kind of pull it out for the day and as we start exercising it, it'll kind of start changing how we think.
Yeah, we're speaking these out really fast. You know what if we can remember, we might maybe try to put this on social media at some point when shortly after this releases, just to maybe get a few of them out there. I don't know if we can remember to do that, but yeah, these are 12 simple little sentences that speak big life into your marriage. And once you begin to speak it, like Raina said, it now rewires the way your brain is framing to talk and think and act.
Yes.
And after a while, you'll start thinking more lively than negatively.
Yes. And, as we share it with our spouse, of course, our kids are overhearing it. Our neighbors are overhearing
it. Yes, they are.
They're watching how we respond to each other at the ball field. It is contagious. But most importantly, it's what God does in your heart through it. And that's the most important thing, is just to have that experience with Him to live out His calling in your life.
Yes.
And of course, Christ would have us to live out, some of these are, of course, the basic fruits of the Spirit, but also just encouraging words.
Yes.
Because God is there for us, so we need to be there for others.
Yes. Well, you know what? Raina and Jacob, thank you. I really appreciate the effort you put into making this podcast happen.
Yes.
You've been a blessing in my life.
Stop it.
You have. Thank you, guys.
Oh, I'm sorry, that sounds frustrating.
just kidding.
It would be frustrating for me to push all those buttons and yes. Yes.
And
yes.
Then later on, Jacob would have to say, I forgive you. Let's start over.
Yeah, let's start over.
One. Yes, if I was sitting over there pressing those buttons and you looked at my face, you could legitimately go, I'm sorry, that sounds frustrating.
And then I would be saying to Jacob, I'm praying for you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. There you go. We just practiced 9 out of the 12 in 30 seconds. We love you guys. Y'all have a blessed week with your family. We love you.
All right. Have a great week. See you again.